Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Of all the news that has been happening this week, I'm just kind of sad that Nintendo won't allow Steve to hold his meat.
Look, Will, we've talked about this. When it comes...
Good night, everybody!
Yeah. look, Will, when it comes to these kinds of things, you have to meet the standards. All right. I mean, we're not gonna beat the meat here and just say that, you know, it was just done willy nilly. You had to meet the stuff.
We were just talking about how this was way too on the nose from all the other media outlets, and here you guys are acting like children. It is appalling and beyond disgraceful. We should be better than this.
Are you saying we're the worst?
That was good. That was good. That's what I was looking to. Yeah, that's back to our standards.
Okay. And also here, judging us entirely, is Tellius Tyler.
Yes. This was, for some reason, that story, I was shocked by my reaction to it, because I find so many things funny, I did not find it funny at all. I was like, this has to get removed. This is just awful.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna talk about Steve's meat later on, but we have a very interesting show for you today, because... We have some fun topics, we have some kind of shocking topics, we have a really interesting reveal that has divided me and Tyler, like that's never happened before. And, but first, of course, we're going to start off with, what have you been playing? And I'm going to go first because, ladies and gentlemen, it is finally done. I have finally did it, I have beaten Silver Snow, I have now beaten all four paths in Fire Emblem Three Houses. It is done! It is done! I am so happy. The final level for Silver Snow, I'm going to argue, was the hardest final boss level. And I say that because, spoiler alert, but I mean, again, like a year and whatever. Rhea in her super, what do we want to call it? The super immaculate one?
Yeah.
the Super Saiyan immaculate one. was really difficult. Like, they did things, certain things, right? Like making sure that there was no time limit or whatever. But I mean, between having to beat her, I knew Rhea was messed up, but having her servants drink her blood, really? Like, okay, like instead of trying, like, oh, it was like some kind of sacred, right? Like, dude, they drank her blood, man, and they turned into dragons. So, yeah, go church. All right. And I'm a religious guy, but like that was, I had to kill all of her children, and then I literally went around and killed every other bad guy there was, because I knew I had to focus solely on Rhea, and that was not an easy task. And then apparently I wasn't supposed to use my gambits until I got to her, because she's got like the 70% damage reductor that will make it so you can only do like 5-6 damage per pop. And so I was literally having my team surround Rhea, whatever ones I had gambits left, I had them focus on her, focus on them. And I'm literally just like doing dinks and dunks, you know, just like chipping away at her armor. And I almost didn't make it. I think if I had to do like one more round of fighting, I would have died because Rhea would have killed me. But it was just like, it got really hairy. And I'm like, do I really have to start this over again? I've already put like 50 minutes into this level. If it wasn't for Mila's turn wheel, like, I don't know how we ever did Fire Emblem without like a turn wheel. All right. And I know I've did it with, you know, Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn and Awakening and so on and so forth. But like, these levels are the ones that really make me glad I had the turn wheel.
Yeah,
I was dying left and right at certain points. It was
wrong. There's a lot more, I feel, cheese in Three Houses that the turn wheel like masks. Like in Radiant Dawn, they did have like same turn reinforcements, which were annoying.
Yeah.
But never quite as bad as the ones in Three Houses, especially on Maddening, where the enemies can move on that first turn and attack you. It's just, with ridiculous stats, you're dead if you have a mage that's not surrounded by people. But yeah, the turn wheel is a great invention for sure. Yeah. I think the older games did a good job, though, of balancing the map design around not having it.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Like, they were designed so that they could be beat without you know, as long as you have a good strategy and good units, without having the fear of dying. Like, you just had to be in that true Fire Emblem strategy zone. Whereas this one, they make it a little harder so that if you have the turn wheel going, you're like, okay, I should have seen this coming. Let's back this up. So it is all about, you know, enforcing it to what mechanics you have. But yes, I did beat it. It was close. I did marry Happy, and she was happy, which we already know she was happy, but I made her more happy. Get it? Moving on. But I will
Her name is
say,
Happy. Yeah,
yeah.
I get it.
You could say that she was going Ren and Stimpy, you know? Happy, happy, Joy, Joy.
No,
But
no.
has there ever been a Fire Emblem character named Joy? I don't think there has.
No,
Not
I
even
don't think so.
Pokemon, only in Pokemon.
Only in Pokemon. But that's a nurse. Anyway, but I will say that I'm a little mad at how the marriage went. And here's what I mean by this. If you haven't married Happy, the whole point is that she has her condition, curse, affliction, whatever you want to call it, where she sighs and the beasts show up, the demonic beasts. And so obviously she wants to marry you, but she can't because, you know, she's going to sigh eventually and then you're going to be besieged by monsters. And so apparently, your dear Professor Byleth infuses the ring that Geralt gave you with magic, and that suppresses her curse. And I was like, wait, it was that simple?
It was that easy.
I mean, think about it, because we're talking about like real magic. Like, she's friends with a top-tier magician in Constance, who is constantly coming up with new magic to try and save House Nouvelle, right? And you're telling me that Constance, in her, you know, weird brilliance, couldn't have thought of that for Happy? And like, they've been getting together for years, and yet Byleth is like, "Oh yeah, I'll just infuse this ring with some magic, and you're saved." Like,
How about Byleth not doing it before the proposal?
yeah.
Like,
And again, if it was just as simple as a ring, that means you technically could have put it on any item, because the ring wasn't special. The ring was just your mother's ring, right? And so it's like, it's just a random object. There's no magical properties about it, and yet you just infused it with ring. Like, this is the kind of stuff that kills me as a writer, and I do this all the time. I do this all the time with TV shows and movies when I see flaws. Like, don't get me started on Captain America: Civil War, but like, this is the kind of stuff that gets me going, because it's like, I want to be happy that Happy is cured, but it shouldn't have been that easy. Because that means that Rhea, the church, you know, Constance, Yuri. You tell me that Yuri couldn't have think of something out. He would have done it because it would have put Pappy in his pocket. Like, that's the kind of guy he is. You know, yes, he would have done for friendship as well. But, you know, gotta have the ulterior motives when you're Yuri. But like, that like really was like, oh, so close, so close.
It's definitely the
Oh.
interesting stories, like, yeah, like you build it up, all this tension in
Yeah.
it, and like at the end, like, oh, that was it, that
Yeah.
simple, no, that anticlimactic.
Yeah. And the sad part for me is Balthus. Because if you recall the Balthus support with Happy at A level, he's just like, "Oh yeah, it'll be fine. We'll sleep next to each other, and then when the beast shows, I kill them." It's like, yeah, that works, I suppose. And like, you tell me Byleth wouldn't have done that? I mean, he would have said it a little more elegantly. But yeah. Again, I'm still happy I picked Happy, but like, that was, oh, that just felt lazy. That was so lazy. Now, the other thing though, and I didn't anticipate being this happy about this, was that when I started to look at my other units, because I tried to set them up a certain way because I wanted certain relationships to happen, I was really rather moved by some of them. Like, I put Yuri with Bernadetta.
Ah.
And apparently, when that happened, they had like the best ending ever, because she literally latched onto him so that he couldn't leave. And then he's like, "Yeah, okay." And so they get married, and then his influence calmed her down enough so that she could rule over her house. And I'm like, "Yeah, that's what I was going for. Like, awesome."
A lot of people do ship Bernie with Yuri here.
Yeah, well, it's just because like he was the guy that she thought she had killed, and I just liked that storyline. So I thought that was kind of a fun thing. And then I put I unintentionally sorry, I unintentionally got Balthus and Constance together. And they had a great ending where House Nouvelle was reborn, and apparently they had like a life where they were laughing maniacally and, you know, living every day as best they could. And like, yeah, that would work for those two. Dorothea, I thought I would get her with Manuela again, but she got with Petra. And so I found out that they've gone back to Brigid, and they basically fell in love, and so like that was pretty cool. Manuela got with Seth. Didn't see that coming. Yeah, and they got married, and apparently they ran their own school, which was cute. Let's see. I did get Shamir and Catherine together. That was nice. They didn't openly say they got married, but we all know they did. And yeah, it was just I had some really good endings, and then I was with Happy and okay, but here we go again. Three Houses, as much as I love this game, and I love this game. This is easily top tier Fire Emblem for me. They have a very bad habit of just not ending the story. And here's what I mean. If you get Byleth and Happy married, and you go to their ending storylines, they'll tell you that those that slither in the dark come back, and that she was his big support during that. And I'm like, why? Why are they coming back? It's like this happens like every time. Like if in the Edelgard storyline, they talk about the how she fought those slithers in the dark, and same thing with Dimitri and even Claude to an extent. And I'm just like, end the story. End the story. Say that, you know, when threats arose again, that, you know, Happy was by his side. That would have been perfect. We would have accepted that. But why are those Slytherin in the dark still alive? We crushed their base. We killed their leaders. There should be none left. Like, ah!
Well, you gotta leave that perhaps possible sequel Three Houses.
Exactly.
I don't, I, and I know this is probably me just being, you know, mean. I don't want a sequel. Because that would mean that we'd have to do four different storylines again based on the four different endings, and that wouldn't work.
No, not really.
Like what?
They could make one canon.
Okay, but like but then that deprives the other endings.
It doesn't.
Which one would you pick?
Well, I would say if you were going to do a sequel, it would make the most sense to go with either Azure Moon or Verdant Wind.
Really, because I would kind of argue with Silver Snow, because that's kind of like you
But
don't
they're
put
all
in.
dead. All the leaders are dead.
Except for Claude.
No, Claude's dead.
Claude's not dead, he's just missing. But you know where he goes. He's back in Elmira.
They never specifically state that, though. Other than
Yeah, but
again,
that
is a
but they expect
loophole.
you to know. Well, yeah.
That
I
is a loophole.
they seem to expect I interpret it as that they expect you to know it if you've played his path. But where did he go if you didn't? And then that mystery gets revealed when you play
Well.
the others.
Anyway, but I don't want one. I'd rather they just make a new story. I wouldn't be mad, but they'd have to explain a lot of things, and I would argue they'd have to twist the storyline so that certain characters are alive and aren't. So we'll just see. But I'm very happy to finally finish this game. It was a long time coming, and this is clearly one of my absolute favorite Fire Emblem games ever. And it was they put so much care into this game. It really shows at times. So that was that, and then I played Fae. Obviously, we had the Goddess Servants banner.
Which I remember, it's just so funny. Like last week when we were talking about it, you talked about Catherine and Shamir, and lo and behold, Catherine and
There they
Shamir
are.
came for this banner.
And who did I get? I got Shamir, not Catherine. So here's what happened. I was doing my first round. I was doing my first rounds, and I get Seth 4-star, and I'm like, okay, sure, fine. And then I get Lorsi 5-star red, and I was like, okay, fine. And so I'm back at 3%, and I'm going and I'm going and I'm going, and all of a sudden I get what did I get? I got a 5-star flame. No, flame was last. I apologize. Flame was last. I got Shamir next. That was it. I got Shamir next, and then who's the fourth character? I'm just blanking. It was
Better.
Seth, Shamir, Catherine, Flayne, right? So I get my Shamir, and I'm very, very happy. And so I'm keep going because I'm trying to get all four. And oh, that was it. I got Shamir off my 40th summon, so that's how bad I
Oh
was
yeah, the
doing.
sparks. Add up the
And
sparks.
but I got a 5-star Shaynon, the male swordsman, Lor C
Oh,
partner.
him. Okay,
Yeah,
okay.
I got a 5-star him, and then I got a 5-star Tibarn, and that was on like my second to last summon, and I'm done. I'm not going to do it after this one. And I'm like, okay, I have a colorless. Let's just go for it. And I pick it, and it's Flayne. So my only true summon five star was Flayne. And I didn't want Flayne. I wanted Catherine. So mean. And I couldn't do the 40 again because I guess for the regular banners, there's only a limit to one summon per 40. So that really made me mad.
Oh, yeah, right, right, right. Like, because the prior one is only was allowed for the Choose a Legends banner, right.
And it sucks because I really wanted Catherine. I mean, I really wanted the Thunder brand, and it's like, ugh. So, and the Forging Bonds, like, I don't know why, but every time I've played it, it's had Flayne as the summon boost, or hearts boost. Yeah, yeah, and so I'm like, I'm trying to get their other storylines, but I keep getting Flayne. I'm like, stop it, Flayne! Stop it!
Yeah, ironically enough, I have been having that same time as well, like with Flayne just getting that extra boost.
Yeah.
But I managed to go basically get all the summon tickets, and I'm pretty much in similar boats as well. But the fact that you got my first wife Shamir, which I'm a little bit pissed, but I'm approaching that. I'm actually at 25 summons currently right now before the spark, but I'm still want to hold off because apparently next week we are going to get the legendary banner. So I'm just wondering who's going to be, which I hope it's Rhea, but who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. But, here's the thing though. I went from 407 orbs, and by the time I was done, I was like at 160.
Ow. Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
So, because I refused to let go. I wanted to keep pushing, and I got three out of the four, and I guess I can be happy. And I know Catherine's out there waiting for me somewhere. So
someday.
But that's what I've been playing, a lot of Fire Emblem.
And yeah, just as a little compliment as well. Like I gotta appreciate also the Choose Your Bonds event as well, because Setup is basically him writing a children's book with Anna, and of course naturally Catherine, Shamir basically talking about their storylines, while Flayne is just Flayne, she just wanted to do the whole shadow operative, something of that sort, like the whole separate team in the Order of Heroes, which okay, Flayne, like there goes your imagination, but again, Flayne, so there's that. And yeah, I'm pretty much in similar boats as well in Faye, just basically continuing on with the Choose Your Bonds, as well as I think there was also another event coming up soon. I know the next sieges are coming up as well, so, and of course the tap battles. There's that, but honestly, from my side, I just haven't actually been quite busy, surprising enough, because one, I actually have been, if you have not been noticing on the site, I actually have wrote it three frequent articles earlier in the week, because every single time I come home, I just wrote articles, and yeah, mostly, surprisingly, we got a lot of fair of Hyrule Warriors news, which I put up on the site, so yeah, give that a look if you have a chance, but we'll also be talking about it later on as well. So overall for me, it has been generally been quite quiet. I mean, I try to go back to playing a little bit of Smash Bros. With Steve, but unfortunately, work calls me, and yeah, you know how it is when work and you're just so tired, like, I can't wait to go home to play some video games, and when you get back home, I'm too tired to play video games. So, yeah, there's that.
It happens.
Yeah, it's been quiet for me too, actually. I went back in on the SNES online, Nintendo Switch Online collection, and was playing just one of my all-time favorite games, Donkey Kong Country 2. There are like so many games that I would give like perfect scores to in the history of my 26 years of gaming, but like this game is one that's like genuinely like a perfect game. Like Breath of the Wild, I would give it a 10, but the weapons broke too frequently, and Todd's right, it rained too much, but like that didn't
rain.
I'd still have to give it a 10 because it was such a just an unbelievable next level experience. This game is just perfect. The platforming to this day, I don't think it gets any better. The momentum is so reliable. You get the sense of speed, the character you can really feel. You feel like you're this chimpanzee, like, you know, swinging through the jungle, you know? It's just it's a perfect feeling that I think Retro did a great job of capturing in the newer games as well. The secrets are just perfectly hidden. There's a ton that are really tricky to find, but never really unfair. There's a cool one that's hidden in another bonus game, and I just love how they kind of really push the completionist boundary. I've beaten this game 100 times easily. I speed run this game occasionally. This time I just took my time and was like going through and trying to find every like little coin I could, and just really enjoying the level design rather than kind of the exploits that I figured out over the years. And man, I just love it. That soundtrack is unmatched as well. Mm-hmm. It's just such a perfect game. I think if you have the SNES, if you have Nintendo Switch Online and you haven't played it, or you're younger than 26 and you didn't grow up with it, it definitely is a game that you should go back and play just to, I think, see Nintendo at their finest, or Rare at their finest, really.
Yeah. I remember Donkey Kong Country games. I played one. I don't think I owned two or three, but I played them like in demos at certain stores. And yeah, they are truly something, and we need one on Switch. Like, yeah. I know we had Tropical Freeze, but that was a port, so we need an original.
It's crazy to me that Donkey Kong has been treated but the way he has by Nintendo. It's really upsetting because Donkey Kong gave Miyamoto his start. You know, that's the first. I think that's his first big game is Donkey Kong on the arcades. And for Nintendo to not release a Donkey Kong game for 6 years, it's just they've never really known what to do with the franchise after Rare left. And the games that they have released, specifically Returns and Tropical Freeze, are fantastic. But Donkey Kong is such a great character. And just everything they've done with them has been a little bit disappointing to me. I really don't like, this is just a weird thing, I'm going to be a Donkey Kong super fan for a second here. Like, even his sound effects in the spin-off games, like in Mario Kart, my older brother pointed this out because Donkey Kong is his number one favorite character. I'm a Diddy guy. I'm the younger brother. It all makes sense. But his sound, like, he sounds like an idiot monkey. Like, he just makes this, like, sound. And, like in the older games, like, Donkey Kong is, like, he's, like, he seems smart. You know, he's, like, proud. He's got, like, his strength is like, radiates off his character and even through all of his little animations. And they lost that at some point. I'll have to trace it back to find exactly where it was. But even through the N64, he was still that, like, tough but intelligent character. I think that Nintendo needs to rethink how they need to revisit really the entire Donkey Kong brand, because it's one of the best they have. All the games are good. All the platforming games are very, very good. So, yeah, I love Donkey Kong. It's the best. That's what you should take away from this.
Uh-huh. Oh, so wait, is Donkey Kong better than Sonic?
So, yes. Yeah, I would say if you had me, like, gun to my head, which one do I love more, I might just say you gotta shoot me. Like, I can't decide. Like, I love them both so much. Like, Sonic, like, they're both equally staples of my childhood. Sonic is, like, my relationship with gaming and with, like, the world around me, but Donkey Kong is my relationship with my older brother. So there's, like, it's, like, a weird pull on the nostalgia sense. But just from a games perspective, Donkey Kong, it takes the cake.
All right. So then now we head on to news, because there's been some very interesting pieces. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And we're going to start with the most recent piece of news, which kind of shocked all of us when it happened. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the original Fire Emblem game, Shadow Dragon and the Blade of Light, is coming to the Nintendo Switch. Now, when we say that Shadow Dragon and the Blade of Light is coming to the Nintendo Switch, what do we mean? Well, it's going to be a digital-only release. It's going to be on December 4th. And they are literally porting the original game and its original graphics and mechanics, with some few upgrades, of course, to the Nintendo Switch. So if you have never been able to play the one true original Fire Emblem game, this is your chance. Like, this is your chance to understand where Fire Emblem came from. And honestly, I didn't realize that this was the 30th anniversary.
I forgot about the 30th anniversary. I think I realized it at some point, and then I forgot about it again because they just released Three Houses, so I wasn't expecting anything great. This is me. I have been waiting for this chance. I've talked about it on this podcast. I really want the Super Nintendo Marth Fire Emblem to get released, but this was such an exciting thing for me. I was pumped to see them announce this. I didn't expect it at all.
No, no one did. Like, there wasn't even a hint of this, if you really think about it. So, but, like, Tyler, since I know we have very different opinions on this, why are you so excited for this port?
Well, it's I guess two main points. The first one is I'm a Fire Emblem super fan, and I've wanted to play all the games, but there's, you know, six of them are only released in Japan, so I was never going to get that chance unless I got an emulator and all that. I'm just not an emulator guy, so having it actually be released here is just from a fan perspective super exciting. And I guess there's really three reasons, because the second one is just the history of this. It's such a, like, Fire Emblem, the journey that franchise has been on has been, you know, a story of peaks and valleys for sure. And getting to kind of go back to where that journey began, it's really cool just to see the piece of history that it is, given what the franchise has become now. And then third, I'm excited to play it. Like, I just, Fire Emblem is fun to me. This is like the seeing the series at its core. Yes, I played Shadow Dragon on the DS, but that is pretty much the same game as this, just with a graphical update. But there are a few gameplay changes, one, but just to get to experience that OG experience that people in Japan got to 30 years ago, it's very exciting to me. I love the 8-bit music. When they were playing the Fire Emblem theme in 8-bits, I was just like making some eggs, you know, like bopping to it. It was great. It was very exciting to me. I didn't expect it. And I can't wait to kind of get to go back and see where it all began.
All right. Will, what about you?
Well, speaking as the casual Fire Emblem fan, like, I was very surprised that this team just more or less came out of nowhere. And, like, while seeing the trailer, I'm like, oh, they're showing off a bit of the melee of Roy and Marth, and, of course, showing off the trailer, the trophy of, like, this is a Japanese-only release. Not anymore. And then they pop off with the trailer of the gameplays and all that. And I gotta say, I'm pretty decently excited about it. And of course, naturally, they also revealed a special edition of it, which, for just a quick thing as well, that special edition does include the download code, so it's not actually a physical release. So just FYI on that part. But just seeing all the extra details and, like, just to see this is the game that started the franchise in Japan, and of course, naturally, the only exposure we got to it here in the West was with Melee with Marth and Roy, so to finally see this game come out stateside, like, okay. And even with the whole dated sprite graphics back in the day, but with an extra bit of quality of life improvement, like with the save stage, fast forward, all the basic bells and whistles of today. And okay, I'm actually pretty decently excited about this game. So I'll definitely will spring for the collector's edition just because everything else looks so nice with it.
It does. The collector's edition is sweet. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yes, but so I probably will spring for that. But again, as just a reminder, everyone, this is a download title. There is no physical cartridge because I'm pretty sure, like, it won't even doesn't even need that much of a cartridge to take up on cartridge space because it is a fairly small game, I take it, with the whole bits and graphics. So I think that's the reason why it's only a download. So, but overall, I'm pretty decently excited.
Okay. Here comes the controversy. I thought this announcement was incredibly lame. And I did not expect Tyler to be so whole hog on this. Like, when he made the... Here's how I found out about this. I got onto our Discord server because I was just getting... just got back from working out and doing my routine and everything. And all I'm seeing from Tyler is, oh my gosh, this is amazing! This is so cool! Like, everybody calm down! And then I see the video saying, a first for Fire Emblem fans, you know, !! Blah, blah, blah. And so I'm watching the video, and it starts out, first of all, can we acknowledge that was an incredibly weird way to start out the video?
Was awesome. That was so cool.
Let me explain.
No, I don't agree that it was weird.
Let me explain. Okay, because you're missing a key point here. The kid, they were playing Smash Brothers, which is awesome, but they had the kid who was playing Marth lose to the character playing Roy. And then he goes, I don't even know who this character is. So wait a minute, you know who Roy is, but you don't know who Marth is, even though Roy was a Japanese-only character?
That wasn't what happened.
Yeah, that wasn't
he probably
happened.
Didn't know both.
He didn't say that, though. He goes, that's why I don't play as this guy.
Yeah,
I don't
because
even
they,
know him.
Todd, because they were releasing Marth's game. That's why. That wasn't weird at all.
No, it was weird. It was weird. Anyway, and so I'm like, oh, okay, so they're going to do a modern remake of Shadow Dragon. And Shadow Dragon and the Blade of Light, and, you know, like, put on the Switch, have upgraded graphics. No, they're just straight up porting this thing. And as I'm watching this, and I'm watching, like, the very, very old graphics, and the soundtrack is fine. Soundtracks are eternal, no matter what genre it is. I mean, I still hear Mario in 8-bit. All right, so that's just the way it is. But I feel this was a missed opportunity, because Shadow Dragon, it is the beginning. This is our beginning as Fire Emblem fans. I got to play Shadow Dragon on the DS, and then, of course, as I mentioned, I think last week or the week before that, I had gotten Fire Emblem 7, and then Sacred Stones, and Path of Radiance and everything. But I really feel that they missed an opportunity here to pull a Link's Awakening and to upgrade the graphics. Now, I would not have wanted full 3D for this, because that's not the point. That wouldn't have been what was best for this game. But they could have done kind of like Shadows of Valentia, where they completely overhauled it, added in like cutscenes, added in more flair and style. They did add the modern mechanics, so we can honestly say that. But they kept it. It kept it in the old school style, and I just feel that's not the best idea, for a reason that you, Tyler, kind of alluded to a week or so back when you noted that you had played Final Fantasy VII on Steam?
No, right? on Switch.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yes, you played it on Switch, and you noted that it hasn't aged well. The battle systems, hit is fine, but like the graphics, how they rendered everything, it's old. And like that was PS1 graphics. This is SNES, or was it NES?
NES.
Okay. So NES / Famicom, because it's Japan. So like this was Famicom graphics. And I'm watching this and it's saying like, Sita died, and I'm like, really? That was Sata? And like Riss heals, and like that's Riss, and like I'm thinking about this in terms of like Fire Emblem Heroes, because I've seen their fully rendered, fully beautiful art styles, and here they are with Shadow Dragon, the Blade of Light, 30 years later, and they do nothing with it except add a few extra gameplay mechanics, make it digital, which and if based on early reports, this is going to be another timed exclusive.
That's annoying.
That is annoying. Like, this is the... You went all out for Mario. And I know Mario is your big franchise. I'm not saying we did...
Well, they made him a timed exclusive, too.
Yeah, oh, no, I'm just saying, like, in general. Like, they did, like, the bundle, and then they did, like, the Super Mario 35 game, and they did, like, the shirts and everything. I'm talking, like, all out. But yeah, that's a timed exclusive as well. And it's just like, this is a... Apparently, we're in the 30th year of Fire Emblem, coming off of one of the best-selling Fire Emblem games of all time, if not the of all time. I'd have to recheck the numbers. But, like, Faye is making you millions. But Three Houses got you critical acclaim that the other Fire Emblem games honestly didn't to a certain extent. I think Awakening was the second best reviewed ever. So, like, Three Houses got you super acclaim. It was the game of the year, but as determined by fans at the Game Awards in that Battle Royale tournament, like, which is saying something. And yet, to honor the 30th anniversary, you literally just do a port. I don't like that. They could have pulled a Link's Awakening on this thing, sold it as a physical copy with the collector's edition, maybe have a nice Art of Fire Emblem book showing how they went from the 8-bit graphics to the modern graphics and blah, 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 and had a really special anniversary, and put it in December. They had the perfect date. Like, this was great. Okay, this is December. This would be big before Christmas. We have nothing after, Hyrule Warriors, which would be, by the time, if we're being honest, it's a Hyrule Warriors game, it won't take you 2 weeks to beat. Like, that's just honesty. So, you had a chance to really honor the Fire Emblem franchise, and you do the simplest thing ever. And sometimes simplicity is good. Like, people are probably screaming at me, but Todd, 3D All-Stars wasn't a visual improvement. Like, 64 looks exactly the same. No, it updated it enough.
Okay, because they updated it, but it's pretty identical visually.
Yeah, it's pretty identical. But, like, that one, as Tyler would know, that one still holds up. They could have. I would have been fine if they had updated it, but, yeah, maybe they didn't need to. They updated it enough, and that was fine. This needed the update. This is super old-school graphics that only works in... There's a reason that Shovel Knight works, and this doesn't, because Shovel Knight is enough of an advancement to make you realize that this is something really cool. Whereas I look at this and go, they couldn't have just taken a few months to upgrade that? Like,
That's have you made your points?
No, actually, that's only the first side of the blackboard. I gotta go to the other side now. Kidding, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
There's just I completely disagree with you. I think the first problem is your expectations. To say a Link's Awakening is it's assuming that they have years to develop this game. Like this is a ground up thing. If they would have to remake the entire game, which
They
they've
did they.
already done. That's a kind of two for one point there. But this is Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon. They've remade that on the 3DS or on the DS already. Like that, it's been remade. It's been visually touched up. The DS's visuals are not great either.
No.
I agree. But if they were going to spend a lot of time visually updating a Fire Emblem game, make it Binding Blade. Make it a Thracia 7076 or Genealogy of the Holy War. They've
Which I
already
support.
done Shadow Dragon.
No,
They've
I support
already.
that.
So it doesn't make sense that that would be the game that they would do yet another remake of. That would be a little bit of a bummer to fans, even myself, although I of course would be excited because I'm a super fan. But it also imagines that, yeah. I think there's an expectation of time that is completely off there. They want to get this out for the 30th anniversary. If they were going to finish development on Three Houses DLC, which released in January, I believe Three Houses DLC launched. That's you can't turn that around. You can't turn an Echoes style visual overhaul around in 11 months. Just not going to happen. Just not a realistic expectation. But the graphics to me, they it's not about holding up. It's about getting that history. I want those bad graphics. I think I mean I wouldn't even describe them as bad. I want those old school 8-bit graphics. They were probably great for the time. It's more about the history and the celebration of the franchise's journey rather than a this title is going to blow your mind because it's not going to blow as a Fire Emblem fan. It's not going to blow my mind. I know the weapons triangle is not going to be in this game. I know there's a lot of modern. I think you can dismount, which is pretty cool. But I think there's a lot of modern things that are not going to be in this. So to some, it's just going to play as a simplistic game. But to me, that's the point. You had said that simplicity is sometimes a good thing. This is one of those times. Like, I do agree. I see. I think what you're trying to say is they should have done more. But what I would say back is, yeah, like they could have done more had Fire Emblem Three Houses development not wrapped up literally 10 months ago. You know, the Fire Emblem Three Houses, they finished development on that and sent the DLC out this year. That's just way too much work to ask them to put into it. If Three Houses had come out back when we expected it to, then maybe I would see your point a little bit more. I would still say they've already made Shadow Dragon. But yeah, no, to me, this is cool because it is that it's that old game that has been locked away that we don't have and that I thought we never, there's a great chance we never would get. This also is exciting for fans of Mother 3 and other Japanese exclusive games because, as crazy as it's like, this is an example of them taking a game out of their vault that people are interested in and translating it and bringing it overseas. It's a step in the right direction. I'm not saying it means it's gonna happen, but hey, now we have a piece of evidence of Nintendo will do this sometimes. I just think it's hard to do a better job celebrating given the reality of where we are compared to, I think you're looking at more expectations, you know, like, or you're thinking more ideal world,
Yeah.
and unfortunately, we don't live in the ideal world.
And I grant you that, but here's a couple of problems with your argument. First of all, like you cited Link's Awakening as a thing to where, like, we needed that upgrade. But that's the thing. That was ported earlier. That was a port on the GBA. And they completely updated the graphics and basically rebuilt the world. And then they did it again for the Switch version. And as you noted, the Shadow Dragon update for DS was not that good, and it's actually the most hated Fire Emblem game because it was basically a haphazard port. So this was their chance to go full tilt, to do an Echoes, Shadows of Valentia, which remember was a Japanese only side story of the original title in Gaiden, and they completely remade it. And yeah, you can say, oh, but they have more time. I
How are they
acknowledge.
going to remake it in 10 months? How are they going to
But
do
that's the
that,
thing.
Todd?
But I that's the second part. I deny your logic that the whole team was working on the DLC because we don't know how big the Fire Emblem team was. We don't know how much time they were dedicating to certain things. And if they were told, hey, we want to do something for Fire Emblem, for Fire Emblem's 30th anniversary, which was, okay, so when did Three Houses come out? That was July 2019. Okay, it was obvious a month afterwards that it was a big hit. It already sold like 2 million, right? So if Nintendo said right there, you know, hey, if we want to do something special for Fire Emblem because it's done so well for us between this and Faye, that's well more than a year to remake the game. And you also remember,
not enough time, though. Fire Emblem game. Remember how long it took Three Houses to make on Switch? Like, it takes a lot of time. And yes, they would have an engine in place. It would be easier, for sure. Yeah. But again, that is still a ton of crunch. And even if the entire team wasn't working on the DLC, which is just a complete assumption, you don't have any evidence of that.
And you have no evidence the other way.
Yeah, but it's more likely that the team was the entire Three Houses team was working on it. I think you would assume based on what the DLC was. It was pretty robust. But yeah, no, I mean, even a year and a half, like, let's say as soon as it went out and they had all the DLC done and the entire team, which we know wasn't the case, was working on it, that would be a huge, huge stretch to get that out on time. And the Link's Awakening GBA thing, that's totally apples to oranges. I mean, that...
Not really?
Yes, it is. That release... It released on the Game Boy Color, or on the Game Boy, on the original Game Boy, and then they released it on the Game Boy Color. Like, that's like 2 years later.
No,
it was the same exact game.
No, it released on the GBA, which is two generations later.
But I believe you, but at the same time, you have to look at the visual.
Okay, but you're also you are making the assumption that I'm saying they need to jump from the 8-bit to Three Houses. I'm not. I'm saying scale up. You're going to keep the sprites, like just like they did in Shadows of Valentia. You keep the sprites, you upgrade
them. Those sprites in Valentia were remade. They weren't the original sprites.
Know that. I mean, seriously, like, look at the original Alm thing. He has, like, the Trunks bowl cut. It's like, how is that Alm? But no, like, they would remake the sprites, they would upgrade them, and then they would add the cutscenes, but they would keep in the 2D style. That would cut down on the crunch. Like, I'm not saying that they would go, and remember, Shadows of Valentia had the 3D dungeon crawling sections. That wasn't in the original game. So this would be a much more simple, for lack of a better word, Fire Emblem game where you just have to recreate the look of the levels, then the sprites and the character art, which honestly would not be that hard, because remember, this is just them showing a picture and saying, oh yeah, Martha's saying this, and Seda is saying this, and Riss is saying this, and so on and so forth. So that's less art that you'd have to do. The cutscenes would take a while, but that's an entirely separate team, all right? Because that would be an animation kind of thing versus straight art and gameplay. So they would be able... And Shadow Dragon's not that long. It's actually, because it was the first game in the series, it wasn't that long of a title.
It's not super long, but it's fairly long. I think there's 20-some chapters in there.
It's long enough in a gaming sense, but it's not as long as, like, Three Houses or Path of Radiance or Awakening or any of that. Because it was the first in the franchise. So that would be less time, or not less time, there'd be less for them to convert. And then some of the gameplay mechanics would be easy to implement, like the Mila's Turn Wheel, which we have here in Shadow Dragon, the Blade of Light, because you already know how to do it. You already have the code to do it. So some of it would just transfer over. Some of it would need to be done from the ground up, admittedly. But because of what it is and what it isn't, it's not a full-scale 3D remake. It's not like they're taking.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna, like, I see what you're trying to do here, and like the idea that we would know exactly how long it would take and that we could set a realistic time, me included on this, is not, you know, that's just not even, like, we're not in those discussions. We're not developing the game. So we don't really know.
That's fair.
I think you're really missing the point of how the history element of this, because we've never had the original version of Fire Emblem here, and now we do. We do already have an updated version of Shadow Dragon. It's on the DS, and you're right, it wasn't super popular, but... They did have some really cool stuff in there. The reclassing system that we have today was found in that. It was the first Fire Emblem game to have online battles. Like, it did a lot of cool things. And we've already gotten that game remastered. Having this original version, this is the first ever Fire Emblem game, is great. Now, I think, would I be more excited if it was even if they held it for a year? Say they held it for a year, and they could do all the development, they have plenty of time, and then they could release it with, like, a filter, like Dragon Quest XI did, where you could do a 2D thing. I think that would be really, really cool. That Unfortunately, this is a 30th anniversary celebration. Like, for what it is, it's excellent. Like, it's extremely cool to me.
Let's wrap this up because we went a little long on this, but go ahead. We'll wrap this up.
So the way I'm seeing the situation is, like, I can understand why Todd wants to cap that HD fresh look to basically build up to modern standards to, like, just basically appeal to the current generation. But on the other hand, I also understand that whole traditional sense of Tyler because, again, we never had this game originally in the West. So why not bring it back to its original form with some bells and whistles of the current days, like with save states from the Nintendo Online, all that. So, like, it's kind of an interesting thing. Like, should they have done that or should they have chose to... In the end, they chose the original sprout and just decided to port the thing with extra bells and whistles. But I think that's kind of, I personally feel like that's probably the best choice because, again, one, we never got the original game. So might as well bring in the original one. And if they should ever in the future decide to remake this game in the future, a whole HD remake, like Final Fantasy VII HD remake, then there's that option. So they can build off from that. So as of right now, I think having the original old sprite and old systems should be available at least currently here in the West for now.
Yeah. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, whatever you think on this issue, whether you like it, you don't like it, you think it could have been better, let us know and we'll see what I'm pretty sure it's going to be our poll question, but we'll just see what you all have to say about this because I'm very, very curious. All right, moving on to our other news, we have Hyrule Warriors, which continues to do just these tiny little announcements that are just really cool and really getting you excited for the game, which is on, indeed, November 20th, which is what I said last time, and you guys corrected me. I said it's November 20th, right? And you're like, no, it's the 22nd or 23rd.
No,
like,
we were saying the 20th. No, we said the 20th. You said the 13th or something. No,
yeah, you said that at the same time I recall. Yeah.
No.
Fake news.
The presidential debate is going on right now, so Todd is taking some inspiration from honestly both candidates, but more so the orange one.
It's like, yeah, it's like, as you know, okay, there is a vaccine for making Tyler and Will not so mean, and you know they'll acknowledge that I'm the host when this cure is out. Okay, it is coming. Okay, now so I was saying Hyrule Warriors. Okay, it's a great game. It's gonna be. I'm sorry. My Trump impersonation is actually pretty good, apparently. So they announced in a new trailer a upgraded battle mechanic where the Sheikah Slate would be able to use by all characters
and
be able to give you brand new abilities that you couldn't use before, including Revali being able to freeze people in time and then shoot them with arrows, which is boss, and Oboro being able to steal all the blades from the Yiga and turn it into a giant cutter to chop them all down.
Actually, it was Impa.
It was Impa? I apologize.
Impa
it was Impa.
Magnesis. Yeah, Magnesis. Yeah.
So using that, and then Zelda summoning a bomb, which shoots out other bombs as it crawls towards you,
which is
pretty cool. And then we had Will did an article about new scans of the characters from Nintendo Dream. So this game is just looking more and more impressive, like every new trailer that they show, and I'm really excited for this game.
It's really just, I think that's kind of going to be the trend as we approach the eventual release of the game, like each and every week, because like they always release these like small snippet trailers, because in the recent trailer earlier in the week we had having Link using different weapons that which they also showed in the Treehouse Direct, and of course naturally basically expanded more on of the Sheikah powers for all characters, and of course naturally we see like different more acting from Hestu, which I think that's not actually the first time we actually hear Hestu speak full-on sentences, because I know Hestu does the dancing sound effect and just the screams and all that, but I think this is actually the first time we actually hear Hestu actually speak, which is kind of amazing. And yeah, just, and of course you ever see a gliding Goron, which is like, you ever thought a Goron can fly, which is like kind of amazing thing to see. But yeah, the trailer itself was actually pretty amazing. And in regards to the scans, it's just really just seeing all this new different artwork that's, again, very impressive for what Koei Tecmo and Nintendo are doing right now. But the one thing I'm really impressed, which a lot of fans and sharp-eyed viewers notice, is regarding to King Rom's full artwork. Like, no, as I mentioned on my article, like, King Rome's artwork is basically near mirror image of Ganondorf's sword pose in Super Smash Bros. Melee, which obviously the King of Light and versus the King of Darkness. And it also kind of leads me to think, like, we can't actually play as King Rom himself in this game. This is just my speculation, because, again, we played as heroes and villains in the original Hyrule Warriors game before, so if we can actually play as King Roham in this game, that would be something. That would be something. So that's my speculation. The article is up on the site. Definitely give it a read. But yeah, just noticing that mirror pose of King Roham and Ganondorf is just like, that's a very good detail. That's a very good detail.
I think we will be able to play as him as well. I would be very surprised if he wasn't playable in some form.
Never know. I mean, they're already pulling out some surprises with who we can play as, like Impa and some of your other allies, and I'm sure that there's others. Because, like, remember, in the original Hyrule Warriors, they didn't tell us if we were going to be playing as Ganon or some of his cronies, so that was pretty cool.
And I have a feeling we actually can play as Koga, I feel like.
So. Oh, that'd be awesome. I will kill you to death! So, I'm very excited for this game. I really am. I mean, November is going to be a hard month for all of us for reasons that Tyler kind of alluded to earlier. So, and my birthday is on election night. So, yeah, there are days I hate being born in November. I really do. So, having Hyrule Warriors is going to be a great, stress relief of sorts. I can channel all my anger into killing thousands and thousands of monsters. So, not that I have anger issues at all. Clearly not. Moving on. So, a big release also happened today in that the Pokemon Sword and Shield DLC, The Crown Tundra, officially released. And we had leaks, okay? Like, leaks are almost inevitable at this point in time. But we had new details and leaks about the Crown Tundra, and here's a loose notion of what's happening. In the Dynamax adventures that you'll be doing to do the legendary Pokemon, you have to face against 3 Dynamax Pokemon beforehand. You do not heal anytime you face them. You have to heal yourself before or during the next battle. And you will choose the path that leads to the legendary Pokemon. You can only capture 1 legendary Pokemon per Dynamax adventure, but you will have a 100% capture rate should you get them. So that's honestly a really good thing. Also, there are some brand new Pokemon that were not announced before coming to the game, including a Glastrier, who comes in an ice form. Glastrier is the ice form of a wild horse, and then Specterier is a ghost horse that you can get. So you'll be able to select, apparently, one of these before you embark on your Crown Tundra adventures, kind of like how you did what was the bear Pokemon in Isle of Armor? Kurushu? Oh. Something like that?
I know the evolved form, or Sifu. No. I think it's something like that. Ah, man. Shoot.
Anyway, it's like that where you got to pick him and you could choose like which evolution he got. Well, this one you get to pick a horse Pokemon to go and ride around in. And then the mystery legendary Pokemon is Calyrex. Calyrex is a legend as a king that ruled over all of Galar in ancient times. It has the power to cause hearts to mend and plants to spring forth. So, yeah. That's why it's the Crown Tundra. And, of course, there is a storyline, which will be 4 hours long, give or take, apparently. And Ultra Beasts are coming back. Yes, if you beat the Crown Tundra storyline, you will be able to go and capture Ultra Beasts. So, for all of you Sun and Moon fans out there, here you go.
Yeah, the Ultra Beasts, I didn't really like that much. I just wasn't crazy about their designs. Some of them were good, but...
They were hit and miss, I will acknowledge that.
Urshifu was the name of the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Just
Thank
so
you.
Our listeners don't, you know, blast their heads against the keyboard because we never announced what that was.
Yeah, and for the record, the reason we don't know the name very well is I don't think any of us has played Isle of Armor.
No, I didn't. I have not.
No. I meant to, but I probably will now that, you know, Crown Tundra is out. But no, I honestly have not played the DLC for Sword and Shield yet. I am going to, but it just hasn't happened yet. So, stop hating on us, okay? All right, moving on. We have this was a big piece of news. NPD numbers came out for Super Mario All Stars 3D. Sorry, Super Mario 3D All Stars, and it had a big month. All right, and remember, like this launched, what was it, 20th? Right, something like that. So It was the second best-selling game of 2020, only behind the Avengers title, and I can guarantee you Mario All-Stars was less buggy. See that Avengers? That's a burn. He's got burned Avengers!
And I don't know, Mario Sunshine is pretty buggy.
It is buggy, but like overall, like this game didn't require a patch that
no,
a
absolutely,
bugs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it also didn't have an apology from the developer saying we regret releasing it in this state. So yeah, then again, does Nintendo really ever apologize? Okay, like let's be honest here.
Yeah,
do they ever really apologize? Okay, I think we're still waiting on an apology for Wii Music. All right, I'm just saying. But anyway, it was the second best-selling game of September 2020. It was the second highest launch month physical dollar sales of any 2020 release, behind only Animal Crossing New Horizons. It was the 10th best-selling game year to date. No digital sales included in that number, so it's probably even higher. And it was the 6th biggest launch month physical dollar sales for any Nintendo published title in history. And remember, this is just the American numbers. NPD is American numbers. So this game is clearly already sold millions. All right, and that's dang impressive.
I think that probably also adds into the factor that as well, that this thing is only going to be until March 31st. Which
yeah.
That kind of would add that extra factor of the extra sales. So again, the whole fear of missing out and all that.
Yeah, I really think they're going to change that. I mean... they have to, because this is selling just too well. They'd be denying themselves money.
It's like... odd that they wouldn't keep the physical version out. I think, and I saw an analyst predict. The analysts, I think, in the video game world are usually really bad. But they said they would probably re-release them separately on the eShop. So I think that's likely. That makes too much sense. I mean, there's no way they're going to make them take them away forever.
So we shall see. We shall see. But seriously, I was honestly really curious about how this would sell, because as the Switch has proven time and time again, ports sell. All right, like these, they really sell on it. It doesn't matter if they're like old or really old. And this is Mario. Mario also always sells more or less. So I was very curious to see how this would do. And apparently, it's killing it. And again, these are just the U.S. numbers. Japan or Europe, which I'm pretty sure Europe had a big release for 3D All-Stars. So there you go. I'm sure that it's already in the 2-3 million, if not higher already.
Oh, higher, definitely higher.
Higher. Because again, like let me go back. Yeah, it was the 10th best-selling game year to date.
Yeah.
All right, and I mean we've had really big launches like Avengers, New Horizons, and so on and so forth.
Final Fantasy.
And everything. So for us to already be saying like this is the 10th best selling game year to date so far, that's not nothing. All right. And again, that's not including digital sales, so it's higher. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Alright, moving on, we have the Switch sales record. Mm-hmm. So more NPD data. Okay, so for the last 22 months, the Nintendo Switch has been the number one best selling console in the United States. Which is now a record. All right, the previous record was from the Xbox 360 of all things, which had it for 21 months from August 2011 to 2013. Well, the Switch has been dominating since December 2018. All right, and since both the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, still a terrible name, is coming out in November, that pretty much guarantees that this is going to get at least to 23. I honestly think it could do 24. I think it could steal November because of the holiday season, because especially with the fact that physical Black Friday is out, like pretty much everyone agrees it's canceled, the online sales are going to be off the charts, guaranteed.
Oh, all right? Yeah.
So I really think that Nintendo could steal a victory during November. Now, December might be different because that would be when like a lot of people really start to buy it for one reason or another to get away from the initial rush. But I think they could steal November, then have two straight years of Nintendo dominance at number one. I don't know if it'll happen. It just depends on how many people really want the Xbox and the PlayStation at launch. It really just depends.
Again, I think it depends a lot on supply for the Xbox and PlayStation.
True.
Like they should win in November, but it's not impossible that the Switch would win.
Yeah.
But for the Switch to do this, I mean, we've talked about how, you know, they've been dominating and getting a lot of sales. Well, this is just like consecutive proof. All right. And remember that even though this is only its consecutive streak, it's had number one months in both 2017 and leading up to December 2018, when it was still battling the PS4. And part of those down months were because of shortages, not just the PS4 beating it. So that's a key difference right there. So congrats to you, Switch, and keep it going for us, okay? All right, thanks. Next up. Okay, I'm going to skip that one for now because I want to save that as our main event. Rambo! Rambo had his gameplay trailer reveal for Mortal Kombat 11. And I was really not impressed. I mean, first it was Fire Emblem not impressing me, and now it's Rambo. I mean, is there anything left in this world to impress me? It's certainly not going to be Trump, because, I mean, Trump's just so impressive. He doesn't need... I kid entirely, of course. But, like, I saw the gameplay trailer for Rambo, and all I'm seeing as I'm watching this is that, yeah, he really doesn't belong here. Like, half of his moveset is, like, traps. Like, pulling a net, catching somebody in a rope, which means he's already set this up pre-game. And if you look at some of the levels, there's nothing to attach the ropes to. Where are the ropes attached to? There's no roof. There's no trees in this. They showed him in, like, at a desert battle area.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that he attached a rope to something? Is this Rambo's magical power to attach ropes to something that aren't there? All right. It's just like, what is this? And, you know, they're showing him using his knife. They're showing him pull up random guns out of the ground, which is, again, preparation. What is he, Batman? Okay, if we're being honest. Yes, Rambo kind of is Batman in his prep time skills, but that's another story entirely. And then his fatality, it started off great, you know, throwing the knife, catching him in a trap, and then he just, like, rips out their throat. And I'm just like, that's actually kind of tame. All right, his brutality, which, super action sequence, whatever they call it, they had him impale a guy right through the face, and that was more gruesome than the throat getting ripped out. It's like, you're Rambo. Shoot the guy to death. You know, go machine gun fury and just blow his brains out, like, all over the floor. Like, comparing this to Rain, who had an absolutely gore-filled, awesomely horrifying fatality, this was tame. And where do you hear that in Mortal Kombat? This is a tame fatality.
Granted, because the whole throat ripping was definitely reminiscent to Liu Kang's other fatality, if I recall correctly, back in the old games. And yeah, just like think about it in context, because again, a lot of his moves is referenced to the movie source material. So a lot of that, of course, he's naturally a zoner, of course, with the specials, we're going to just stabbing, explosive tip arrow, and then just shoot him with, of course, he's got to do that whole special of, like, do not look at explosion, just show your back and never look at explosion.
Yeah, I actually like that. That was so Stallone.
And, yeah, like, we're going to the fatality. It's just, like, one, because I was, even give props to, like, Johnny Cage, which, even though he has, quote-unquote, magical powers, like, he is generally human, but, like, when we're talking Rambo, Stallone's Rambo, it is, like, what can you do for a human, like, besides from, like, just, like, really, like, going a chain gun, shooting holes, making your opponent into Swiss cheese? I feel like that probably would have been better. Yeah. But, yeah, the rope thread thing is, like, yeah, it's definitely, sure, in human standards, but when it comes in the world of Mortal Kombat and Netherrealm and all these different monsters you can do for creative fatalities, yeah,
no.
I agree. It is a little on the low-end side, sadly.
And if you want to stay close to the source material, here's what you do. In the second movie called Rambo, not the original, but like the modern one that was in Burma, all right, there's a scene where Stallone gets on the back of a Jeep that has a 50 cal machine gun, and he's just blasting away, and you're literally seeing the bullets hit the guys and their bodies blowing apart. That's what you do. The Jeep rolls in, he hits it, and he's just like, Gah! You know, that typical Stallone grunt thing that he did at the end, which, by the way, before I finish on the fatality bit, that ending where he's just going, "Grr!" and then they freeze it, he looks so stupid. It's just like his lips are like just like slowly convulsing as the slow motion stops, and it's just like
it is reference to the movies.
I know, but like they could have just done a hard cut with him just shouting, and instead they like slow it down, and then it looks like Rocky with him shouting, "Adrian!" And I mean, that's the wrong source material, guys. Anyway, but the fatality, like, that could have been like just him jumping on, getting a 50 cal, and just like drilling him with the bullets and body parts is like slowly chipping away until there's nothing left. Like, that would have been cool, but the throat ripping was tame. This is Mortal Kombat, man. This is not the time to be tame. So, venting over. And remember, this is how I started my day with Fire Emblem and Rambo. I'm just like, can we get this day better, please? So, all right, and then finally, the moment you've all been waiting for. Let's talk about Steve's meat. I know Tyler has especially been wanting to talk about the meat. I mean, I don't know why.
Oh my god, you know I love talking meat. I love talking meat. Who doesn't love talking meat?
I mean, I want to meet you in the middle here, Tyler. But you know, it's just hard.
That one was bad.
Yeah,
worst was good though. Worst, I'll give you. I'll let you slide.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to puns, I'm such a brat. Moving on. So, yes, a huge controversy has come to light via Minecraft and Smash Brothers. And no, it's not just Steve being in it. It's Steve's meat, which we were going to say as many times as possible in this segment.
Can we not?
All right.
Yeah, fine. I just want to go and quickly press the sound effect again.
Good night, everybody.
Like that sound effect. And for those who don't get that, that was Animaniacs. Go watch something. All right, it's a great show. Anyway, but yes, okay. The meat that Steve has for his victory and his final smash. Okay, does that sound better for you, Tyler?
That sounds better.
Okay,
yeah.
The meat that Steve possesses for those scenes. One of them, of course, is his final smash where he's eating it as you know the house is blowing up and getting killed by zombies. The other one was that it was just placement of the meat on Steve that was very, I don't know, provocative, wrong, I guess, you know? I mean, I guess there's only so many ways you want to see a guy's meat. So,
just placement. It's just placement. Like the fact that Steve has his victory, cooked the meat, and they just like have his meat at a particular placement.
The angle of the camera makes it even worse. It's like underneath him, like it's. It's so bad. When I saw this, so like I said earlier, like I think so many things are funny. I didn't think this was funny. I was
I
like,
found it funny.
I straight up was like, if Sakurai has done so much for like Smash Bros and all that, and like he's the best, he's the absolute best, he's my favorite developer. This is like a fireable offense. Like it was so incredibly blatant. Like. Todd, you had mentioned before the show that you had have a dirty mind. I disagree. Like this just looked like this was a censored, you know, and it was so bad. How did it get through? How did it get through?
Okay, but see, here's the thing. This is why I found it hilarious because I'm like, okay, because when Will posted the first thing about this and the headline from Nintendo, everything was like Nintendo censors Steve's meat. My first thought was Archer. Phrasing, and I'm like, what are they talking about? Because again, I haven't played Smash Brothers, and I don't have the season, the Fighter Pass 2, so I haven't seen any of Steve's victory animations. And I'm seeing this picture, thank you Nintendo Everything, and they're showing it, and I'm just like, how did that get through? Because this means that Sakurai, the game testers, Nintendo, and I bet you Mojang, whatever.
It's Mojang. You got it right.
Mojang had to look at this, and they all said, yeah, I mean, Steve and his meat look good. So, you know, that's what makes it funny to me that this got through. Because, like, this shouldn't get through. But it did, and it got caught for days. Like, what did we say? When did Steve come out? Like, last week?
It came out last Tuesday.
And here he is for like a week or so, and now it's, you know, it gets altered. This means that it was in there, tested, played, shown, no one cared, everyone cared, got censored, now we're talking about it. Like, that's why it's funny, because it took this long to realize Steve's meat should not look like that.
It's just, like, really just funny. I agree, it's kind of a part of funny as well. Like, yeah, because, again, by itself, like, it's not a, like, offensive at all, because, again, it is based on the source of it that he had a chunk of meat somewhere, and, of course, it was also shown on his trailer. So, like, I wouldn't give any thought about, like, a piece of meat in Steve's or Alex's hand, and then, like, yeah, okay, just the meat, and then there. But, yeah, granted, the camera work could have been better, because you don't want to put it, have it cut off at a certain hit point, and we're like, that looks oddly suggestive. And of course, with everyone else, like, okay, like, just eating meat, just if they had that pose, like, now it's been they omitted the meat, like, have Steve or Alex eat the meat, and then bam, there's just nothing, it's just Steve model in general. But having Steve, having the player with that meat item in his hand at that winning screen at the hip is like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and if he had had it, like, let's be generous, like, about a foot higher, you know, his arm, nobody would be talking about this, because it's just Steve holding the meat in front of him. But because of the placement, it's everything.
If it was a straight on camera shot too, like you do for a bunch of characters, they just went with that down angle that they do sometimes, and it was just, my gosh, it's hilarious. There's a great interview with Phil Spencer where he gets to see it.
Yeah, so here's what we're going to do. Tyler, I want you to be the role of Kotaku.
Okay.
And I will be Phil Spencer. We're going to play you this conversation. So Tyler, whenever you're ready.
Have you seen the Steve image that's making the rounds now? His victory image?
No.
I'm falling into this character. Let me dig this up and share this with you.
You can put it in chat. I'll look at it.
Where is it?
Is it bad?
I'll get your live reaction to it in a second. I know I've got you really worried right now.
Yeah, who did that?
That's the real image. I'm not trolling you right now or something like that. It's weird. And people started talking about it last night that this is what Steve looks at when you win a match. I guess that's a piece of meat. Some people thought it was the pickaxe, and it just kind of hovers there, so...
I assume that will be fixed.
I really fell into that character.
As did I.
Wow. Am I me, or am I Kotaku interviewer?
Don't start.
Oh, no.
You
no,
are better.
No.
Tyler, as much as I rag you on everything, you're better than Kotaku. But, like, think about that. This got as high as Phil Spencer. And I do mean as high as Phil Spencer. Ba-dum-bum. Can you play that Animaniacs clip, Will? Do you have that still?
Okay.
Okay, her pause, and then I'll say the line, and then you play it, okay? Okay, this guy is high as Phil Spencer.
Good night, everybody.
There you go. I feel so accomplished. But, like, this got up to him. Like, that's how bad this got. All right, that's why it's funny to me, because it got
it
to
is
him.
It should be hilarious. It should be. But when I saw it, it just was so gross. It was so gross. I just didn't find it funny. I don't know why. I feel like I should have found it funny, but it was just disgusting. Like, this really was a fireable offense. Like, if Sakurai didn't sign off on it, I would have to think that the person who did this would, like, be at least in the doghouse. At least, like, you really. Nobody caught this.
I mean, it would have been better, as I said, if, like, had a different placement of camera work, then this whole entire thing could have been avoided. But lo and behold, it had been placed at that point of Steve, and, like, I don't know whether or not. I just can't help but laugh, because, like, maybe it's just my character, maybe because of my history here in the NDP podcast, but just, like, this thing. I got through Sakura, as I said, got through the entire treehouse. And of course, like, nobody noticed this only until now, which is like, you gotta be kidding me. You couldn't notice that Steve's meat looks like somebody else's meat.
I don't know, Will. What? Oh, no, I'm not. Nope, not making that joke. I was right about to make the joke. I was right there. Okay, but that's the whole story of the meat. So, yeah. I mean, we could have just done a slice, but we wanted to give you the whole thing. Oh, what a world. So, if nothing else, ladies and gentlemen, I hope this was more entertaining than the presidential debate.
Yeah, listen to the podcast. Avoid the debate. This is the most entertaining thing.
Let's be honest here. It was not a high bar to break, all right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, we're now going to head to the main event. And in light of the Shadow Dragon news and what I felt they should have done with this port, I thought, let's dive back into Nintendo history and let's look at games that were from like the NES, SNES era, and that should be brought back with an overhaul in the style of Link's Awakening or, to the other great example, Final Fantasy VII Remake. You know, fully remastered, fully remade to be true to the original game, but that so we can play it in a fun way without having to look at, you know, outdated graphics, sound effects, etc., etc. So, gentlemen, let's be game makers. All right, so I'll go first just to set the tone, and I think an obvious one that really could help a certain franchise is the Kid Icarus games. Because what people really forget is that once upon a time, Kid Icarus was one of the biggest franchises in Nintendo. It was a simple yet fun action platformer. It had a different feel than Mario and Metroid. Kid Icarus was everywhere. He was in Mario Kart as a spectator one time. He was everywhere. And then he faded away until he was brought back in Brawl. And then, of course, Kid Icarus Uprising. And where is he now? No, the world may never know. But what if they were to do a graphical overhaul of these original platformers, keep the game mechanics, keep it a 2D platformer, but super update the sprites, you know, add in some cool cutscenes, you know, kind of like the animated cutscene for Pit's battle with Link in the Palutena trailer. You know, we know that that's a gorgeous art style. So make it in that vein. And there were two original games, so you can bundle them together, right? So bundle them together, remake them, and then use this as a gauge to see if people really want Kid Icarus to come back to the Switch. We all want Kid Icarus back to the Switch, but Nintendo, just for whatever reason, just will not give Pit a chance outside of Smash Brothers. He's becoming the new Captain Falcon. All right, because
no, don't say that. That's depressing.
I know it's depressing, but it's true, Tyler. The truth hurts.
Pit is the best. Oh,
I know.
God,
I
love Pit. What a
great
character.
That's why I'm saying, like, let's do this. Let's do the modern remake of the original two Kid Icarus games. You put them in a bundle pack. You completely remake them from the ground up, but while still maintaining the original like gameplay mechanics and everything, with a few obvious modern touches. And use this to see, hey, here's the original games, better than ever. Do you want more Kid Icarus? They sell millions, and all of a sudden we have Kid Icarus on the Switch.
That Everybody does sound like a dream. I would caution the original Kid Icarus. Like, you're looking just for a graphical overhaul, keep the gameplay exactly the same.
Well, like, with some modern updates, because remember, like, his bow was literally like,
yes,
like a Cupid bow. So obviously we want, like, the Smash Brothers Uprising, I can bend arrows with my mind bow, like that one, obviously.
Right, I love Kid Icarus Uprising. I've discussed this plenty of times.
You have?
I would, the original Kid Icarus is, it's cool. It's like really, really hard, very unforgiving. And it's not as good as many of the platformers at its time. In my opinion, it's a little too stiff. Pit has a lead pipe. Or that's a bad example. He's like a boulder. He falls super fast. So this one wouldn't be super high on my list. At the same time, I like it because I love the mythology lore. I love the characters. It would be really cool to see it get a fresh coat of paint.
Yeah, but like that's what I'm saying here, because they actually kind of, if you remember Uprising, they make fun of this. Like, Medusa didn't look anything like she does in Uprising, mm-hmm. and all the other characters that they face. That's part of the fun, is that now they can say, okay, we had to make them look like this for that game, because that's all we could do. But now that we have, you know, better artists, and we have more freedom, we can do, you know, better sprites, do animated cutscenes, you know, add in voice acting, because this would be for
yes,
Twitch.
You need voice acting. That
well,
was such a staple.
They've already got Pit and Palutena, so let's just hire them back.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. So Like, do that, and it would be so easy, and this would totally sell. I really believe that. And then this would be all the confirmation that Nintendo would need to give us a true new Kid Icarus game. I don't know if they should do it like Uprising. That's on them. I liked the game, but my hand cramps really hated it. So I hurt just thinking about it, honestly. But like, if you want to do it like that, or just saying, if you want to kind of return to the old school style with the platform and just add, you know, your own little things, that could work too. You know, just like Zelda, there's a lot of different ways you can play. So do that, make that remake, that upgrade, and just let the fans determine whether they like it or not. I mean, we all want Pit. We all here really want Pit back and to have another game. So do this, and it could totally set the tone for that.
Yeah, like, I don't really have as much experience with Kid Icarus, but yeah, just like having everything just being done, because like even with Uprising on the 3DS, I feel like it could definitely only improve. Like, again, as I said, voice acting, just better artwork, just a complete overhaul of the game. Like, heck, even from the original game back in its old 8-bit style, and just going upwards is just, I can't imagine what the team can do if Sakurai should ever revisit Kid Icarus again. So yeah, they really could do a lot of things to really upgrade it from that point.
All right, Will, how about you? What's your game that you would want overhauled?
If there's only one game in the old classic Nintendo library that wanted to be overhauled, it even for its 16-bit, like some people would definitely call it like a Times Classic. Honestly, I really would like to see an HD like overhaul of Chrono Trigger. Like, granted, again, this game is revered as timeless. This thing, you can pretty much can play it like anywhere in your life, and it still will hold up. It has aged very well. And again, we do not talk about Chrono Cross the sequel. We never talk about that game ever. But for me, like having an entirely updated version of Chrono Trigger to today, like the possibilities, I can only imagine. Like, yes, I love the anime style of the PS1, and of course, and naturally with the upgraded version of the 3DS. That was great. That was great. But I can only imagine how, if should Square Enix Square Enix and Nintendo ever collab again, like really bring that polish of what it can be in today's modern generation. Like, of course, if should ever like go with the Dragon Cross route, have Akira Tomiyama work with them again, like have that model, something similar to Dragon Quest, but with Chrono Trigger, have Chrono, Ayla, Frog, all the great characters, Magus, Robo. I mean, heck, do you want to hear Rickroll again in 2020 or 2021? That's the great way to bring back an old dead meme, but it's a classic song.
Never gonna give you up, never let you down.
I just can't believe like the creator of Robo the composer didn't realize he never heard of Rickroll until he was shown afterwards, so he never really did know about that song until then. But yeah, just have all these things, of course, like, I can only imagine how the world of time travel could be, like, yeah, actually showing up, like, time travel, going into that swirling vortex, into, like, back of these old age, the dinosaur age, and of course, witnessing basically when Lavos hits, I'm going to spoil the territory, but yeah, when Lavos just comes, hits the earth, and just embeds himself, and drains at the life, and of course, I want to hear, like, see, like, the age of magic of Zeo, that thing, like, that music was just amazing, and then one can imagine like how it would be if you see it in like either in a third person's perspective or just like seeing the world of Zeo fully realized of like what the Magic Kingdom can be. Like, and of course, naturally the combat, like Final Fantasy VII HD remake had like very fast time acting combat. So I wouldn't really go for like exactly like that, but I still keep with the whole turn-based game, but the one thing I really just love about Chrono Trigger is how they implement like the dual text, like how you have two characters or even the entire party have specials that combine all three characters, like really, like, you know, the simple cross slash like with Tessa Symphonia, or like having a fire sword, have one of the characters inflame your fire sword and just doing a slash. That thing I still have great memories of. So just to make it short, like, yeah, from the story, I can only imagine how it would be if the team of Chrono Trigger, should they ever assemble, like, give that HD remake of bringing an old classic title to the modern age. I mean, the original game was already timeless of itself. I can't imagine how it would be with the extra bells and whistles of today's technology. So for me, I definitely would love to see a Chrono Trigger HD remake.
Yeah, Chrono Trigger, it's a classic. I was fortunate. See, that was a DS version that was actually good. All right, like that was how I got to play it, and it was really good. So, a very, very classic game.
Yeah, I like that one a lot as well. I think that's a great choice. It's one of the classic SNES games that I haven't played, and I just really, really need to take that plunge because the game is so expensive online.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, Squaresoft, Square Enix, if you're listening to this, how about you put it on the Nintendo Online service? That's the perfect game for it.
To make sure it's the good port and not like the Steam iOS port, okay?
Oh my god.
So you want to talk about bad port? That was a bad port. Alright, that was a bad port. And then, Will, of course, once they, if they were to do this, like, get the big response. We all know it's going to get a big response, okay? It's Chrono Trigger, right? So then they can do two things. One, they can finally put Chrono in Smash Brothers. All right? It's a long, long desired fan request. And then they can finally give us the remake of Chrono Cross, right?
And of course, but if we have Chrono Trigger again, it's just going to set off the fanboys again. Like, another anime swordsman? Come on.
Hey, sometimes you just gotta go with what's at the table. It's at the table, whether it's another swordsman or Steve's meat. Moving on. Tyler. See, you thought I was done, but no, I was not. Tyler.
That is so funny that you went in with the Smash Bros. Tie-in, too, because I am sticking with Square, and I'm saying Super Mario RPG. Because that game, I think visually, it did not age as well as some of the later NES or SNES titles. And Geno in Smash was obviously the tie-in. The reason I'd like to see this one remastered is because the gameplay is solid. The story is solid. It's a really, really good game that I think as an actual game is similar in quality to the original Paper Mario. Unfortunately, it lacks a certain oomph. For example, Mario like punches for some of his attacks, and like when you throw the punch out and you hit the action command, it doesn't really give you that feedback that you get in some of the more modern Mario RPGs. I would like to see them kind of revisit that and fix those animations, and with Rumble, I think you would really feel the impact of your attacks more. This game was really creative. The settings were fantastic. I love Geno and Mallow as characters. They're both really fun additions to the cast. The enemy was cool. Smithy was like never seen again villain, but I like when they don't just throw Bowser in as the antagonist.
And Bowser was on your side. This was a first where Bowser was on your team.
Yeah, this is the game. I think this is the game that started kind of giving Bowser his second personality, his RPG series personality. In Mario Galaxy, like, and even in Odyssey, to a lesser extent, he's pretty menacing. But in the RPG games, he's always goofy, and we always see this funny side of him, and you saw that here. The writing is solid. There's not a ton of it, which is fine by me. I don't need a ton of writing in a Mario game, even a Mario RPG. But it definitely gets the job done. So I would like to see that one revisited. It's like Paper Mario, I don't want to remake, because that style stands the test of time. 64 Paper Mario still looks great. It still looks super
Absolutely.
Cool. This one doesn't look quite as great. And if they were to, honestly, I could see it in a Kingdom Battle sort of light. I think it'd be really cool.
No, I totally agree. That should totally get a remaster. And then they could do like certain other things, like maybe make Boshi a playable character, like make him on their team, because he was a cool looking Yoshi. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like bring Boshi into this. Maybe do a upgrade like what Will was talking about with Chrono Trigger. Like do like tag team attacks and all that. And there's a lot of simple ways that they can do it, not unlike what they did with, you know, Final Fantasy VII Remake, where they took the original battle system but added its own little twists and flares based on recent mechanics. You know, there is so much out there that you can use as reference material that it would honestly be foolish not to do that, not to mention giving upgraded models, which they could use in Smash Brothers. So, you know, we're just saying. Also, honorable mention, Super Metroid. Like, that game has never been remade, remastered, ported, whatever. It has only been on Super Nintendo. They referenced it in Other M in a great cutscene with the Mother Brain, but that's it. Like, that game could do have a really fun overhaul with, you know, animated cutscenes and everything, and Ridley and the Mother Brain and the Metroid. I think that one could, because they already did it with Samus Returns, you know, so why not go full tilt on Super Metroid, and then we'll have the Super Metroid remake and Metroid Prime 4 in 2025. So there's a lot out there. There's a lot out there we can do, and that's why I want them to, you know, go full tilt on this. And then, of course, Fire Emblem is the obvious one. But we've honestly talked about that before. That's why I kind of I told Tyler and Will to not include it, because frankly we've done it before. So yeah, but just to be clear, I really want Genealogy of the Holy War. All right, I want a cutscene of Sigurd being burned to cinders. I know that makes me a sadist, but it would be a really good cutscene. Because there's, like, in the original game, it just showed him, like, flickering on and off with a flame graphic, and, like, that was his death. I'm like, give Sigurd the death he deserves, all right? It's been 20 years.
I can only imagine how it would be with that, with the bells and whistles of today, like, because that is a significantly moving moment of that game, like, to finally, and just seeing, like, oh no, this is my death, and just, like, being burned, so, like, that, like, knowing that that is their demise at the end of a generation of heroes is, like, that is a very pivotal moment. In that game, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I had to look up, I mean, I found out about Sigurd via completely, you know, random means, but when I read his story and I found, like, that's how he died, and I was just like, oh, that's so heartbreaking. And then they do the Tempest Trials with him, Deirdre, and Salif. You know, I was like, what? Like, they're finally all back together, and now they've got the art, and I'm just like, come on, just make Genealogy of the Holy War. You know, give us the modern and throw in Thracia 776. This is in the same storyline, basically. So, yeah. All right, and with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I would go to Tyler with the poll, but he got disconnected somehow. I swear this is not my fault.
I wonder if it's probably the internet over there and down below in Jersey or somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Trump's trying to win North Carolina, but blaming this on Biden. Who knows? So I will go to the NEP handle, and I will find out. Let's see. Okay, we said, which Zelda character would you most like to see added to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate? Impa, Midnun, Wolfling, Tetra, or Daruk? Which, for the record, I told him to put Daruk and Darunia. He did not, so I am mad. All right. And the winner by landslide was Midna and Wolf Link. Dangster 8 with 55% of the votes. Impa came in second with 33%. Tetra with 11, and no votes for Daruk. Wait a minute, you didn't even vote for yourself, Will?
Nah.
Ugh, fine. All right. When we find Tyler, we will tell him that the next poll question will be, are you excited for the Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon the Blade of Light port in December? Yes, no, undecided. All right, and of course, let us know what you thought about the recent Hyrule Warriors news. Are you gonna get the Crown Tundra DLC? Were you one of the people who helped get Mario All-Stars to a really high sales record? What did you think of Steve's meme? Yeah, I know there's so many jokes I want to say. But I want to try and end this with dignity, which is really, really hard. And,
yeah, especially enough, we don't want to have many more people have beef with us right now.
Yeah, you know, it is what's for dinner. So, and of course, what'd you think of Rambo's moveset? Let us know in the comments below. So, for the disconnected Tellius, Tyler, and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. You made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag!